Hello, everyone. I am Phil Svitek, and every now and then, as you know, I have the pleasure of bringing on someone to interview that I think is doing something amazing within the artistic space, let's call it. So here today, I have Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, who is one of my very close friends, but of course, that is not the reason she's here. She's done a wealth of stuff that we'll also get into, but primarily today, we want to talk about her ventures in documentary filmmaking, specifically with One Dream Too Many, which is a fantastic documentary. Rather than me give the context for it, why don't you kind of give us the brief synopsis of everything?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm super excited to be here. This is the very first interview about my film. As you know, we are still placing the finishing touches on it, but we've had two screenings for family and friends, and getting everybody's input has been super helpful. But when I started this film, it was just supposed to be a film about my circus history. And it took a lot of different turns. Documentaries tend to document, so I had no idea where it was going to go, but primarily it turned out to be a film about my circus family background, as well as the nature of pursuing your dreams and what that looks like today. So it's been such a ride, and it's taken so many twists and turns, and it wasn't what I set out to film, as I feel like probably most documentarians like go through. It's like, you don't know. You can't write the script. So you're out there and the story changes.
Absolutely. I mean, in many ways, like to me, the best documentarians are kind of like journalists, where they're exploring the story and they're figuring out the narrative. And for you, when did it go from this idea of like, okay, it's going to be a home movie about your family and the circus to more than like, hey, this could actually be something that's worthwhile and enjoyable for people beyond just my immediate family?
Yeah, so I originally made the film for my family, as you mentioned. And when I was interviewing them, I sensed that not only talking about the past was important to them, but that they all also had a dream that maybe they were pursuing on the side, with also having a family and a regular 9-to-5 job, or there was something that they always wanted to do that they didn't get a chance to do. My grandmother had this song that she had written called One Dream Too Many and performed. And so I got the idea to also ask people when I was interviewing them about my family circus past and stories that they would tell me. I asked them if they ever had a dream. And then I would get all this information and I didn't know what to do with it, but I found that it was so fascinating and relatable. Person who doesn't want to do the 9-to-5 grind, and maybe they didn't have the confidence or they didn't feel like they were good enough to do whatever they really felt fulfilled by and felt, inspired by. I know when I paint, when I film, when I do something creative afterwards, even filming a podcast, like it energizes me and it makes me want to like continue down that path of creativity. And all it takes is starting and doing that. But I feel that a lot of people, what prevents them is just like the fear. And I saw it when I was filming them. And so at that point, I realized that I wanted to follow a few people from the film and see how they were going to start their dreams and that process and that journey and what that was going to look like and entail. The film starts with me being inspired by losing my first best friend in Los Angeles. And I just remember she had so many dreams, so many things that she talked about wanting to do. And then the fact that she lost her life in her early 20s, it really was a wake-up call to me. And that was really the beginning of me buying all the equipment, working extra jobs to get what I needed to start this film because it really reminded me like how precious life is and we don't know how long we have. So it's like if you have something you want to do, you better start on it now. And so I think it was all of that information coming together. History film, it's a historical document. This historical story I wanted to tell. And then there were all these pieces that were always sort of in the background and then kept coming up in interviews. And I was like, I think I have to make this part of the documentary as well.
Yeah, I mean, to me, as you're describing it and having seen it a few times, there's always this sense where, in an odd way, like when you say, like, oh, I have a circus family, it's such a novelty in a way, right? Because the circus once was large and now is essentially not, right? And in a way, that can be analogous to, we start off as kids with like this dream. And it sort of dwindles away, and how do you maintain that, right? And the few, brave enough to continue on that sort of path. So I totally get why that would be just a very simple sort of connection for you in that aha moment. But as everything in life, sometimes it can be simple, but the path is not easy, right? So, I mean, in gen so just to for people, give it context. This has been a 12-year journey up at this point. So has it been, are we at 13 or still 12? Where are we at?
We are over 12 at this point, but I've been saying 12 because the first screening was in November, about I don't know, 4 months ago, was the family screening when the film was 2 hours long. And at that point, I really had just made this film for my family. I wanted to preserve our past. I always had a camera in my hand when I was younger, and most of our family videos were filmed by me. And so it just made sense to me that I really wanted to do this for my family. I went to film school. When I got out to Los Angeles, it was a different story. It wasn't that easy to break into the industry. You had to take different jobs to even survive out here and to hope to meet the right people to get you those jobs, which I'm still trying to do. So, it's a journey. It's been a journey for me, and for everybody in the film. And that's what I loved about it. So yeah, we are, I really just felt such, I felt so rewarded, to be honest. And this is like the first time I felt truly proud of myself. Obviously, we have a lot of small accomplishments in life that we can feel proud of ourselves for. And of course, I do for those too. But this one was something I didn't have to do. I didn't have to get over this leap in life and suddenly be proud of myself for doing this. This was something I chose to do and I chose to continue to do for over 12 years now. And it's really been difficult. I mean, it's painful to watch a film, even choose your favorite film and try watching it 100 times and trying to make it better each time. It's going to be a torturous, painful process, but I am so proud of myself because the reality is it's really just been me and my editor for the past 12 years. And I had to go through 5 different people before I found Megan, my current editor, Megan Moxguy, who has stayed with me, but everybody else quit because I was just handing them so much footage. They didn't know what to do with it. I wasn't sure what to do with it. It came together, but I would really say it's just we did not know what we were getting into until we were in the thick of it. And then trying to create a story from that. I mean, what we set out to do and what we have now is totally a different film. And it's been such a rewarding journey for me and something that I finally feel really good about who I am and what I'm capable of. It's like you don't know what you're capable of until you try. And if I knew this was going to be a 12 and a half year journey, I would have never started.
Yeah. So take me to that time. I want to sort of unpack a few of those key moments because, in a way, this doesn't have to be your term, but my term sort of when I embark on a project is like blind stupidity. I'm like, oh, this sounds great. And I know it's big or whatever, but like, you know what? Let's just do it. Like, I think it won't be as hard as we think it is. And then even now, like, I'm in the thick of certain things. I'm like, ah, maybe this was the dumbest idea ever. And, now I'm in the, kind of stuck with it and having to do it because I don't want to look like a failure to myself and others. But, at the end of the day, like, talk about that moment. And then also, like, just 12 years, I'd be hard pressed to see anybody continue on a journey like that. So I'm just curious about like the mental resolve you had to like just keep pushing forward instead of just being like, all right, good enough, I'm done here, time to move on.
At one point, we had like a story C in the documentary of just how hard it was to make this documentary. And we, through showing it to people that I respect, like Phil and a lot of filmmakers in the industry, we decided to cut it out. But there was an entire part of the film that we dedicated to just showing other filmmakers how difficult the process is and how difficult it is to stay with it. I mean, I went through so many obstacles myself of like, you're in a big city, you don't have a job because your dad's uncle brother owns the company, like you would in a lot of small towns. Like you're not working for a family member. You are working for people who, not to be rude, but like they could hire somebody to replace you tomorrow, and a lot of times they do, someone who's cheaper or better qualified, or most of the time they just know them. And so it's like being out here, it's not easy. And over the course of these 12 years of making this film, I've lost my job several times, and it's like I was also paying my editor on the side. I was paying to go on all these trips. At this point, I've spent about $80,000 on the film, and it keeps adding up. And I did have an Indiegogo campaign where I was able to raise about, at this point, I think it's been like $16,000 worth of donations, which was amazing, but it's never enough. And so I've had to put a lot of my own money into it. And so if I wasn't working, obviously, we had to pause on filming. So that's another reason it took so long. But also, I think the breaks were good in filming because I would come back to the film with more knowledge. I would come back to the film with a clean, refreshing view of it. And it really changed things every time. It really helped. And I had other people comment that they really think that this film definitely needed 12 years to finish because the story changes. Not to give anything away, but the way the story progresses and changes, it wasn't something you could plan. It was sort of like natural life events that transpired. I think that makes the film stronger. And it was very difficult to stick with, but it's like, I think because the subject matter was so personal to me, my family means so much to me. They raised me, they allowed me to be creative. They didn't tell me that I needed to be a lawyer or doctor to be okay in life. Like, they handed me a camera that I asked for Christmas when I was about 7 years old. And they kept supplying me with whatever I wanted to do creatively, creative wise. Like, they did not stifle that. They did not ever say, like, Kristen, go study mathematics, be a banker. Like, they didn't do that. They bought me the paintbrushes. They let me record them. A lot of times in the film, you'll see somebody asking me to shut off the camera. But I was actually shy growing up. And I think this is important because behind the camera, I felt incredibly empowered and I felt like I could talk to people. And it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. It's like it's this guy who has no confidence, but behind the curtain, he's like a totally different guy who people like. And that's how I kind of felt behind my camera because I was shy. I didn't talk to anybody but my mom. But I felt like behind this camera, like people wanted to be recorded. They wanted some, most of the time, they wanted me to record them doing something. I don't know. It gave me this element of power where people talk to me, whereas before I was just this quiet little girl that no one spoke to and I didn't know what to say to them. So it created this relationship that I developed my entire life with the world around me through this camera lens, you know? And so I think this has always been part of who I am, filmmaking. And so, yes, staying with a project for 12 years and seeing it to completion is incredibly difficult. But I think if you pick the subject matter correctly and it's something that you really believe in and have strong opinions about, I mean, like in the film, you'll see that I would get to go in my grandmother's like wooden chest of like memories from that time, and I'd be transported into the world that they lived in. And I was so curious, and with all the stories she would tell me, like what that looked like and how magical it was. And it was such a different time than we can experience now. I mean, these animals you've never seen. You live in a small town, you've got like a zebra walking down Main Street one day, all the shops would shut down early, schools would close. And you would get to go see all these performers in these beautiful costumes. And they didn't have TV and radio then and all the different forms of entertainment we're spoiled with now, they did not have. So like when the circus came to town, it was a huge phenomenon that everybody prioritized seeing. So to be from that world and to celebrate it now in a time where, you know, maybe people see circus as something else, like they see, you know, the abuse of the animals, or it's like it's whittled down to something that, yes, I'm sure there was that in that world, you know, but you see that happening with the cops, with the churches. It's like you could take any subject matter and only focus on the bad and try to like taint the whole subject matter to be paint it in a different way. But I'm trying to celebrate what the best parts were. And my family treated the animals like pets. They lived in their house. They treated them better than humans. So I think it, you know, each story is gonna paint things differently. But for me, finding a subject matter that meant a lot to me and sharing it, and also feeling like after someone sees my film, they'll be inspired to take that first step towards pursuing their dream. I mean, that means a lot to me because my story, my road to get to where I am now was incredibly difficult. And I share that, which was hard because I was also like very shy growing up.
Yeah, I was going to ask
But
about that because you talked about the confidence behind the camera, but you in a way become the audience surrogate for the whole, this entry point to your family, the circus, as you're talking about, taking the leap of faith and dreams. And you mentioned at the start of this, there's also like mini milestones. Even within the movie, there's like mini milestones for you where you try different things. I won't spoil what they are, but you know what I mean? So like, yeah, what made the decision to like come out from behind?
So what happened was during the interviews, I was asking these people to be very vulnerable with me, to tell me their dreams, to tell me their dreams and to tell me why they didn't go after them. And it was hard for them, you know? And so I realized that I couldn't sit behind the camera anymore. I had to start being vulnerable if I wanted other people to be vulnerable. So a lot of times I would film these people for hours. I mean, a lot of them were my family members, but some of them I didn't know very well. They could have been strangers to me. It's like you see them at holidays, but how much do you really know about your family members? So I spent hours with these people, truly becoming like their confidant and their friend. And I recorded so many hours that you don't see, but you see clips where they finally trusted me and they finally were honest and truthful because I had been spending so much time with them and being vulnerable with them about my story and my struggles and what I have been through. And I did not want to be part of the film for so long. And my editor was like, "You need to string these things together. You are the storyteller that we're following. You have to be in this." But I really didn't want to be. But because it was my family, and there were certain things that need clarification, and you kind of need someone as an audience to follow throughout the film, turned out it had to be me. And, you know, putting your art out there is very scary. There are parts of me that nobody knows. None of my friends knew before they came to the screening, and they were all like, "Wow, I understand you so much better now, and I have so much more respect for you as a person." Not that they didn't before, but they didn't know these things. And so I think realizing that I wasn't getting the footage I needed from people made me realize, okay, if I'm not vulnerable and I don't start sharing my own secrets that people can relate to, then they're not going to share theirs with me. And so it became like a love letter to my family and a very personal story. And I was worried, honestly, about how they were going to react when they saw it a few months ago. But everybody really enjoyed it. I mean, there were a few people who were, I would say, slightly upset about their edit. But documentaries tend to document. So it's like not everyone's going to like the mirror that they see, you know, before them. And that wasn't something that I had any control over painting, but it is a film about dreams. And, you know, some people pursue them and find a way to be successful in whatever way that is. Doesn't mean you have to become famous. I mean, maybe that's just getting your painting in your local art facility. You know, there's all kinds of ways of feeling successful, and I just try to paint that in this film and being vulnerable and putting myself out there and coming out from behind the camera was really what was necessary for me to be able to tell a story that I feel like people could connect with.
Yeah, and so more on the filmmaker side, like what you went to film school, so like how did this scratch that itch just in general? Like yes, you were employing these skills, but it was essentially, and it started off as like this home movie, which again, for all intents and purposes, you could put together a slideshow with some music and like Windows Movie Maker, and your family would have watched and be like, "Oh my God, that's so great."
That's
You know what I
true.
mean?
That's true. Um,
So yeah, how did like, you really wanted to kind of stretch that filmmaking muscle, I guess, and so I'm curious how you approached it from that perspective.
so I got out here and I thought that I was just going to, I drove the 42 hours out to Los Angeles, had no money, lived on the futon of my very first internship job, and they paid me a little bit of money. It was terrible. I ate nothing but like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for a year, and I wasn't doing what I thought I had given up. I was engaged on the East Coast. All of my family was there, the people who supported me my whole life, people that I felt good around. And there was other food besides the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. All of my reasons, for being here kind of like quickly fell away when I was making no money, alone, tired, sad. And so I got to a point where I was just like, I need to start doing something that was the reason I came out here. And I don't think it's just going to show up for me. It's not going to just come to my door. Someone's not going to just hire me off the street. Nobody knows me. Most people who have jobs in Los Angeles got it from, knowing somebody. Their cousin had an uncle in Hollywood, and they emailed them and got an internship and was able to climb the ladder that way. But I had zero connections moving out here. So I got to a point where I was so frustrated, and I had continued to take jobs that were not fulfilling and not itching that creative part of me. And so I decided when I was working in a nightclub doing bottle service, I was like, this is not it. Like, I can't keep doing this. And it had only been like a year into living in Los Angeles, but I just wasn't, getting any type of job that was in the field I wanted to. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start doing it myself. Like, I don't need a studio to back me, to buy me the equipment. I can do that for me. So, of course, it was super expensive. I was working two jobs. I got a job at a tech firm, like inputting data during the day and doing some project coordination. And then at night, I would wait tables. And it was a lot of cash, obviously, waiting tables as a server. So I was able to buy all the equipment. And then, like every time I could take a trip, I took the camera with me. I had huge backpacks. I'm only like 110 pound girl. So I was carrying all this heavy film equipment. Thankfully, it's gotten better and smaller and lighter as the 12 years progressed. But the film equipment I was carrying back then was like very heavy tripods, very heavy cameras, and all the equipment on my back to all these places across the United States. But I just decided, I was fed up with the fact that I was waiting for an opportunity to come my way. I was like, I don't feel like that's ever going to happen for me. So I need to go out there and I need to make it happen. And I think a lot of people maybe don't get to that point that they're fed up. But I also went to film school, so I knew how to handle the equipment. I took the classes. I made small films that were awful that I probably will never show to anybody. But I got the embarrassing stuff out of the way so that I could tell a story that I was proud of.
Right on. And there's always for me, right? Like whenever I start a project, it's like it's all this knowledge that I had and it's great. But then by doing it, you gain even more knowledge. So specifically in filmmaking, what did you learn through this? I mean, let's be honest, it's an arduous process.
It's so hard. I mean, the truth of it is, I realized that I couldn't do every single step of it myself. And so at that point is when I found Megan, and I worked with a lot of people on this film I'd never work with again. And I feel like I worked with con artists who took my money, who said they could do this, and then they couldn't. And then thankfully I reached out to, people who I really trusted, like you and other people who have great contacts, who have been making films for a while, who got me in touch with people that could really do what they said that they did. But you have to be so careful because like assembling a team, like you honestly can't do it yourself. That was one thing that I thought in the beginning I could do. And you really can't. Like I had to hire a professional editor and I feel like taking on all the roles yourself, it's not going to be as good of a project as it really could because you actually need somebody else to be like, no, you could have done that better, or let's go back and film that, or let's go back and record that, or just somebody else like pushing you who also becomes part of really loving the project and wanting to support you. So I think learning that they need a cheerleader and a good support system of either other people working on it with you is something that I learned because I thought I could just do it all alone. And for many years, I was doing it all alone. And it's so much easier when you have somebody else on your team. So just even having my editor for the majority of it, she would text me, 6 months from when we had stopped doing anything on the project and be like, hey, I'm ready to go again when you are. Like just having somebody and then having friends who are constantly like, hey, what's the update on your film that you started 5 years ago? Or somebody who gave me $20 in my Indiegogo campaign being like, hey, whatever happened with your film? Just like talking about your project, that's really what I felt got me through it. And having people on my team who also like saw it as such a good idea and something they wanted to be part of and they could be proud of. Just that constant like morale. And it's not going to be just you because if I didn't have like a gym partner, there's just no freaking way I'm going after work when I'm exhausted. Other than to not let that person down, you
Yeah.
know?
Well, it seems to be, there's this theme that, at least for me, is emerging, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like the idea of you undertaking all of this, whether it's the 12 years, stepping in front of the camera, now finding the team, it's that idea that like whatever's best for the movie, right? And I speak with a lot of artists of all kinds, right? That know they need help, but are afraid to essentially ask because, again, you're asking, and oftentimes, like, you want to give rather than just receive. And it's like that, at least the people that I hang out with are actually genuinely good people. So they have that sort of inclination. But I always tell them, like, listen, let people be, give them an opportunity to be there for you, because that's also equally as important, right? And so it's kind of like the idea of people asking you like how's the movie going, to me represents like that they do care and they do want to help. But what like stepping like when you go back to that decision of I can't do this by myself, what was like what made the switch to not be afraid to ask for help? Because it seems like part of that could have been, and like I've really seen you grow from like this might work, I might be a filmmaker, that sort of style, versus now you are a filmmaker, you have a lot more confidence. You know what I mean?
Thank
Like you've really
you.
come out of your shell in a beautiful way.
Thank you for saying that. I feel that way, honestly, sad knowing the childhood I came from and not speaking to anyone to where I am now. But I would say it's just been, such a long process. And that moment of feeling like I was going to give up was probably when I realized I needed other people. That moment of throwing the film in, iMovie or some crappy editing software and being like, this isn't going to get me the product that I want. And I don't have the skill set to get there. I was already in a writers group, and one of the writers had a friend who had made the turn into editing, who I had known from the writers group, and she had started taking on some editing projects. And I spoke to her and I was like, I have no money.
Always a great
But
start, right? You're like, I got nothing, but will you help me?
I've got this great story and I want to make it. And I have, access to all these people who are my family members and have agreed to be on camera. And If you believe in this project, I will make sure eventually you are getting more money. And she gave me the lowest rate she could give me to like survive in Los Angeles. And we started working together. And a lot of things came up where if I had a job, if I didn't have a job, we'd have to stop because I'd be like, I'm sorry, I can't pay you. So please stop. But then it also gave us time to like regroup. And the fact that she never left me and never was like, I'm just sick of this. Like, you can't really find people like that who are going to accept like such a small wage to work on a project that's not their own. It's incredibly hard to find. So I obviously heard her opinions, and I feel like she liked that I was really taking her advice as well as the project. I was the director, but I mean, she executively produced this with me as far as like the decision making for how to tell the story once we had everything recorded. So I think the fact that I really took her opinions and she had great ideas that really changed some of the storytelling, I honored, and respected her opinions and took them and we implemented them into the film. So I think this also became her baby in a way over the course of all these years and taking care of it and making sure we were going to do it justice. So, yeah, realizing I didn't have the skill set to do the project justice was something that helped me turn to other people. And I'm Italian and I come from a family that, like, even if you only have 10 cents in your bank account, like, you're not going out to look for handouts, like, you have to figure it out. So it's been, yeah, it was really hard for me to ask for help because that's just not the kind of people I come from.
Was it? So for me, two things come out of that. One being this idea that, like, when someone accepts a project under those conditions, because you were very upfront about it, and kudos there, because sometimes people try to trick you into like BS, and I hate that.
Yeah.
But in a way, did it like validate the project for you? Because for someone to do that, right? Like you're going into the unknown of, again, taking on this project, you don't necessarily know how long it's going to take. And so when someone does that under that specific case, then it's like, okay, they're doing it because they, as you said, they love the project. So, now it makes it worthwhile. And then for me, sometimes I'm like, okay, well, that means now the pressure's on because other people are involved and, and I have to like live up to their expectations and deliver for them,
I mean, it's true. I think that also kept me going is just knowing that like somebody else's livelihood and paying their bills relied on me. So I took a lot of jobs that I didn't want to take just because I knew that they paid well.
Nice.
Didn't do anything illegal, let's put that out there. Just like not a creative job, I would
Yeah.
say, are some of the jobs I had to take. But I did whatever I needed to do to get the project done, And it's like we're still not done, but we're very, very close. Probably in I would say 2 weeks, we'll be finally picture lock, color corrected, sound mixed, and ready to apply for film festivals for the next 2 years.
Listen, it'll be fun. I mean, the film festival circuit, it's fun, right? So, that's the more enjoyable side of it all. And yeah, I mean, one of the things I applaud you and, I highlight this A for you, but also for anyone watching, is that idea that, yeah, I mean, the start and stop of it all, while I'm not ideal, Christopher Nolan with his first movie Following did the same thing. He would work, get enough money to like have film stock, then they filmed The Weeknd. Oh, money's gone. All right. Let me go work more. And, over the 2 year process made Following, right? So I just A want to highlight that and commend that. And in the, in the spirit of the way I'm intending this, I mean it in the best of ways. But like I love, one of the reasons I wanted to get to you at this point is because I think like to me, you're on the cusp of like when people when you look at it like let's say Beyonce and reflecting on her hardships, of course you believe her, but it's not quite the same as you're still dealing with the BS of every single day. Yet I can tell, like it's the age-old thing. The overnight success happens over 10 years, right? So I feel you're like right there knocking on that door, and that's why I want to
Thank
like
you.
capture and preserve this idea of it, which
Oh.
that's not really a question there, but I just wanted to highlight it all the same.
No, I love that. It means so much to me. Literally, when you asked me to film a podcast, I was like, "So, what's the topic that we're talking about?" And you're like, "It's you." And I'm like, "What?" Because no one, at this point, I've never had an interview about me and my project. So it meant a lot to me that you even wanted to have this. So thank you, Phil, for always
Absolutely.
being a supporter of me. It means a lot.
And I mean, I will say, like, you are finding ways to let your creativity shine in a multitude of ways, right? And obviously this is the big one, and I want to highlight this because it's, the culmination of everything you've been working towards. But I mean, we could run the game. You've done hosting, right? Let's talk about that. Like, it seems like you embrace, as long as it's creative, there's like a passion for you there. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I love anything creative. I feel like being creative in this world is the only way to like change minds, change opinions, change the way people treat each other. I think storytelling is the best way to do that. I think art is the best way to do that. And that's just my religion, honestly, is art. So I've always seen it that way. It can inspire, it can, provide, it can change minds. And for me, there's not medium or something that can do that. It's really hard. So whether it's a book or a painting or a film or a podcast, I think what can come out of it is something that people really need. It's something that people can relate to. It can trigger them to go on a different journey that they are not currently on, and it can be eye-opening and be an epiphany of what they need. But it's like just somebody telling you that in life, at a desk job, seeing it on a billboard, it doesn't do the same justice as like seeing an entire story or a completed work of art. Just, I think, has that type of influence on people.
And do you do some art for just yourself as like a hobby, purely, like, let's say painting or just like journaling?
Yeah, I used to have this incredible balcony where I had an art horse, and that's where you could sit basically, and the back part and the front part was like your canvas. And I would paint out there every day, and people would always walk by and ask if I could turn the painting around. And it was just really, for me, it was therapeutic. Just me getting out like my ideas, my frustrations, my feelings, and putting it into a medium that I could share with people. So yeah, I mean, I just love creating in any way possible. I love painting and writing and ceramics, and anything that has to do with art and creation is just like where I feel like my soul is being nurtured.
And I think I hate this question on a number of levels, but all the same, I'm still curious of, like, have you started thinking about what the next project could be after this one?
Oh,
Or is,
absolutely.
yeah? You don't have to reveal it if you don't want to, but I just wanted to know.
I've had the next project before I had this project, which is funny because the other project is a screenplay that I wrote in college that I feel very passionate about, that still like is keeping up with the times. The story is still, if not more important to society now. And I feel that as soon as I can, and hopefully this film gets me in a position where I can make another film, that one's going to be, a fiction, a rom-com, a romantic comedy. And I'll just tell you the line, I guess. It's called Man Bank, and it's about a woman in her mid-30s who's just like frustrated with dating. She's financially stable, and she just wants to have a child. And so she goes to a sperm bank, and they give her this catalog of men. And her best friend's totally against it, just wants her to find a husband and have a family the traditional way. But they start reading through this catalog, and this catalog is like dating profiles, but it's the most honest profiles you've ever read, like with their health history, their GPA, all of that stuff. And so her best encourages her to request to meet the donors, and they use this book to date men. So it definitely, I feel like, is the next story I want to tell, probably because that's where I'm at in my
I was gonna ask,
life.
like, is there any parallel to life there?
It's funny because I wrote it in college. I wrote this story 15 years ago, and it's like, did I write my future? Was, or was I predicting my future at that point? I don't know, but it still is very relevant. You hear about women freezing their eggs all the time to have a family in the future. And now with the technology and the advancements in healthcare that we have, I mean, you can actually have a child by yourself, but I found a way in this film to kind of remedy that for women and just like getting a more honest approach from men. So I'm excited to tell that story as well. It's copywritten, it's written, it's copywritten, it's already wrote, it's ready to shoot. I just don't have the funding. So hopefully this film does well and I can dive into a new creative world that I want to tell.
Do you have an approach for it? Because we've been talking about the documentary, and that's very different where you could have those start and stops. I mentioned Christopher Nolan Falling was a fictional, not a documentary. So, but they found a way to make it work over the course of 2 years. So I'm curious if you'll sort of maintain that gung-ho spirit still, that hell, by hell or high water. This is the next project, and you're going to find a way to do it regardless of whatever may come.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I will. That's just the kind of person I am. I even if like nothing comes of my documentary, which I hope it does. I hope it does. I hope people find it relatable and find it inspiring and it creates opportunities for me to make more films and tell more stories that I think people can relate to and find hope in. But if it doesn't, I will still find another way. I'd probably go the documentary route instead of a fiction film, just because I think it would be easier, especially with my current skill set and financing it. I would probably tell the other side of my family's story because this side is very much the French Canadian circus story. So my next documentary would be about my Italian side and my Italian roots that we lost track of. They live in a small village in Italy. And there's not much cell service there, so we lost touch with them over the years. And so I'd like to go on a discovery journey to Italy to find them. And also, like, I'm super into nutrition, so I would want to find a way to bring nutrition into that film of like my Italian roots. My family had a restaurant growing up, and like we made everything from scratch, not to include like the preservatives that they put in all the food today. And so I would also find a way to relate the Italian nutrition in the film versus what we have here in America in hopes of changing that and bringing light to that world. But I have so many stories I want to tell and
Well,
I
listen,
think I will continue.
the rom-com could be you can make a mockumentary if you needed to. I feel like that can work. But also, speaking to the health and nutrition side of it, it's always funny when people go to Italy and they're like, all I did was eat pizza and pasta and I lost 15 pounds. It's like, yeah, because it actually goes with your body. Like, there's
Yeah.
nothing that just sits there for years. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not like toxins that your body is like trying to store or reject or not sure what to do with. That is causes inflammation in our bodies and allows us to eat more and causes disease. It's a whole thing. So yeah, there's so many more stories that I want to tell, and I will, whether or not this film helps me do that in an easier way.
Well, I like your boldness. I mean, in many ways, I feel like, sometimes people, you see it all the time with actors, perhaps, like they get pigeonholed into certain roles and stuff like that. And so, let's just for a second be like, okay, this becomes like the next big documentary. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, so she's gonna make another documentary. It's like, no, I want to make a rom-com. So that in and of itself is a bold thing,
Yeah.
which I can relate to. I've made sort of, they're more dramedy movies, but they have romance elements. And now I want to make an anime type film. And people are like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, I have many interests.
I love that you're doing that because, like, honestly, over the years, you have really inspired me in many ways of just like your mental fortitude, all most of the time you've done it alone, then you've assembled a team, you've put in your own money. So I will say you're one of the huge influences in my life over the years that I've gotten to know of somebody who is also doing this, who is like, screw the studios in a way. Like, I don't need to wait for your approval. I don't need to wait for your money. I'm gonna do it anyway. Gonna do it alone, gonna do it tired, gonna do it broke, gonna make it happen.
Absolutely. That's why when I found out you've been scammed by so many people, I was like, oh, Kristen, that I was upset. I was like, damn it, Kristen, come to me. I know all the best people that don't like rip
I
you
did
off.
come. That was me again, like not wanting to ask for help. And then finally being like, will you watch my film? Can I get your help? And then you really helped me find some other people who could really put some finishing beautiful touches on the film that made it what it is today. So thank you for all your contributions and your advice. And I would say anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you have a project that you're not sure how to get off the ground, talk to Phil or listen to his videos because he's got the best advice out of anybody I know.
Well, I appreciate it. I would say my greatest strength is being able to find incredible people under like any rock in the
Oh,
world. You know, like that's really my only skill set, if I'm being honest.
no, that's not true. It's
Yes.
one of many, but the people that you've brought me, I'm like, how did you connect with these people? And one of them, I was like friends with my roommate 15 years ago, funny enough. So it turns out it is kind of a small world out here.
Yes and no. I mean, the one person you're referring to is from LA, but then I also hooked you up with someone from Colombia. I
It's
have another
true.
person in like Argentina. Like I have people from all over the globe. Like I got a Polish guy. Like yeah, I got all kinds of people.
You never fail to surprise me. I'm just like, if I have a question, I'm like, Phil, do you have any idea how I could do this? And you have an answer. So I love that about you. And thank you so much for your help in making my film successful.
Of course. I mean, I think that's the spirit of it. You know, to me, it's very reciprocal. I don't wanna, not that it's contingent, but yeah, obviously, I think it's stupid to say that we don't all want to be supported in what we're doing. But I'm also not naive. You know, I'd rather give 10 times more, and that way, when I do ask for the big favor, it's like, you know that it means something, and stuff like that. So, and listen, I'll be honest, like sometimes people, they don't reciprocate and it's like, okay, that's fine too, because who the hell knows what they're going through in their own life and this and that. Like, so no judgment, to me, if I've learned anything as we're reflecting on the idea of time in general, right, passing, but I've learned, things come and go and, there's different seasons and I don't write anybody off based on any particular thing in the moment, so I think that's also helped me, so.
Yeah, I think it's so important not to ever ruin any bridges. I mean, I've got fired from many jobs. I invited all of those people to my showing, my screening in Los Angeles, and a lot of them came, people who had fired me in the past. So, I mean, that meant a lot to me.
It did. And then you put on a free, like, I mean, so I've only done like festivals in that way. And, I don't handle like the tickets and things like that. That's the festival. But of course, like anyone attending has to pay for their ticket. You talk to me about like, because I even told you, I was like, listen, you could rent a theater and, you could recoup it. Like, I don't know, just charge people $5. You're like, no, I want to do this. I want, and so like, just A, what a gift, but also, like, why? I'm curious, why?
So for me, it's like, again, not relying on the studios, not relying on somebody else to be like, you're allowed to do this. I always wanted to make a film and I always wanted it to be in a theater and I always wanted to show it to my friends and family. And so I did that. And I didn't need a film festival to say, you're accepted. Now you can invite people and they can buy a ticket. Like, if there are rules, I don't know them. I don't want to know them. If there are boundaries, don't tell me them because that would just like make, I feel like being naive has been such a blessing in my life because if somebody has been like, you can't do that, that's not the proper way, or you can only get your film in a theater if you go through the proper channels, like, that is probably the way and that has probably stopped people from doing it. But for me, I'm just like, picking up the phone, making calls, making it happen. And I think that you have to be a little dumb and you have to dream big and you have to be a little unrealistic maybe not dumb, but unrealistic and naive, for sure, to like take on these big projects like I have, like you have. And yeah, just me wanting to get my film. I wanted my family and friends to see it, and I didn't want to wait for someone to say it was good enough and that I could. Like, I wanted to give that to myself and be like, no, I don't need permission,
Yeah.
I don't need anybody else to give that to me. I want to give that to myself. And so I did.
Well, as we wrap this up, I commend that spirit. And I do think, for your first one, you have to have that naivete. But as you continue on, I know that you'll maintain that spirit. And, to me, it's more once you have the knowledge, people will sort of look at you of like, why are you doing, and people do it with me all the time. Like, you understand, like, you're breaking all the rules. I'm like, oh, I'm well aware of the rules. All the more reason why I know how and why I can break them, So I think I will admit, as you get wiser in the grand scheme of things, it becomes easier to navigate because, in an odd way, you benefit from knowing those things, and you can surpass them by knowing them because they're all bullshit, arbitrary. It's the matrix code. You just see it. You're like, fuck this.
Yeah, exactly. It's controlling. We don't need it. One person was why the rule was created. And it's like people are like, oh, you don't like rules. And it's like, no, I just didn't know the rules to begin with. And now that I do, I also don't think they're necessary or that they apply to me. So you almost have to have that spirit to get anything done, honestly. If you're always going to follow the rules, you're not going to get very far.
Yeah. And if they work in your favor, great. Like to me, but that's the spirit of what everything, it's like, listen, if a studio came along, I'm sure you would, and they gave you a budget to make this documentary, I'm sure you're not saying no, but that didn't
Of course
happen.
not.
So it's like, all right, well, in lieu of that, we'll do this, So I don't push people out of bed, like, hey, you want to make a movie with me? Great, let's do it. Oh, okay, well, whatever, I'm still going. So that's
Yeah,
the
I think
spirit.
that's the important mindset. I know so many writers who have a ton of scripts that they love, and they're not able to sell them. And it's like, for me, I'm like, why don't you just try to, make it yourself? But it's like a lot of people don't. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of very talented people who just abide by the rules. And that's unfortunate because I think there's so much art that we're missing in the world from the people who, are just not putting it out there or playing by the rules too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Any final words you want to share, and then definitely tell people how they can keep up with the movie, because obviously it's not out for the public yet, and then festivals, so I want people to have that opportunity if they like.
So the film's called One Dream Too Many. You can go to onedreamtoomany.com to read more about it. You can go to one dream too many Instagram. I'm gonna say that again because there's a weird beep. On Instagram, it's One Dream Too Many. My personal Instagram is Cinematic Escape. I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. It's been such a joy to be here with you today, Phil, and I can't wait to tell you about, the next part of the journey with this film. And I hope if you guys see One Dream Too Many playing at a film festival that you'll buy a ticket and you'll come support us. And I hope that you're inspired to take that first step towards whatever you've been putting on the back burner. And it could even just be a trip. Or, buying the paintbrushes and buying a piece of canvas. It doesn't have to be going to school to get to the degree, whatever, whatever. It can be a small step towards the dream that you want to accomplish. And I think once you take that small step, you'll be propelled and you'll find a new energy that'll keep you going.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate this. It was such an honor, and I can't wait to do more of these, not only about One Dream Too Many, but about all the dreams you have.
Thanks, Phil. I really appreciate all your support. You're an amazing friend.